The topic is huge. That isn't the name of the topic, but that's the size of it. It is so big that I have to humbly say it is too big for me. It's too big. I mean, not that almost any topic isn't. But this one in particular, I began to just feel very intimidated about even considering exploring it, which I suppose is healthy. So, once again, I rely increasingly on the person of the Holy Spirit to edify you and to impart truth and life. As Jesus said, when he said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So I pray that our words, these words this morning, become to us spirit and life. That the Holy Spirit communicates, he imparts life to us, that he brings the spirit of wisdom and revelation to us, so that we might increase in our knowledge of God. The topic may seem all too familiar at first. There might be some in the house that are thinking, ooh, it's going to be something really deep and way out there. We're going to go out there on the edge. No, it may feel all too familiar at first, but I hope that soon we are gripped afresh, that we are gripped powerfully anew and revitalized by its increasing presence in our lives. Our theme verse is found in 1 Corinthians 14 in verse 1. And this verse, because of the language of it, is going to carry us through for the next several weeks. It's the briefest. And it's going, and so there's lots of good reasons for that. It'll stick in our minds the easiest. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1. Paul writes this. And your version, the versions may be different. But he writes, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Somebody in the house say, pursue love. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Now, I've chosen this passage because the verse expresses the mandate that I feel in my heart with regard to this house. And this, the imagery of the verb captures the feel of what I would, how I am sensing to urge and to encourage this house. Some of your Bibles might use the word, the phrase, make love your highest aim or goal, or it might say follow the way of love. And those are both appropriate, except for that the strictest translation has the fewest words. The strictest translation really is just two words, and it's the word pursue. It means chase after, to hunt down, almost like a predator. It communicates this aggressive hunger, this singular passion, if you will. Pursue love. And, someone say and. And eagerly desire. That word, your Bibles might say desire spiritual gifts, or, you know, the word is, and some versions might insert the word eagerly in there quite appropriately. If I were going to mess with it and retranslate it to try to express the color of the original, it would, pursue love is good, but it's like live in hot and passionate pursuit of love. Pursue it like a hunter. Hunt and pursue love with every part of you. And then, eagerly desire, burn with a fever for spirituals. Someone say spirituals. Your Bibles probably say spiritual gifts, which is fine, but it's a plural of the word of the word pneumatica, and it just means spirituals. That all things pertaining to the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Pursue love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. These are not competing or contrary imperatives. They are complementary. They are parallel. These imperatives, these commands to pursue love and to desire spiritual gifts, they contribute to the success and the increase of the other. To pursue love and to desire spiritual gifts, the minister, the person and ministry of the Spirit, to do both of those things contribute to the success and the increase of the other. And this passage really summarizes what I feel the Lord pressing upon me and my role in serving this body. Why? Well, let me back up a little bit. Because the kingdom of God is at hand. Everybody said amen. Amen. The kingdom of God is at hand. It is here. But the kingdom came because of love. The kingdom came prompted by love. It is an invasion of God and His rule. But it is an invasion of love. For God so loved the world. The world in its current state. In its mess. Don't read that wrong. That doesn't say, for God so approved of the world in its current state. His love forbade him to tolerate the world to remain in its current state, and his love prompted him to come, to take the form of a man, to come as a man, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Philippians says that to empty himself and take the form of a servant, but to be clothed with the person of the Holy Spirit, and in power and in might and in authority destroy the works of the devil. And all of that is an expression. It came from the origin, the ignition of the kingdom is love. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The kingdom came on a mission of love. So then the kingdom of God continues. The thing that to correct is the idea that love is a feeling, or that it's warm fuzzies or bunnies or chocolates. All those things are fine. And our feelings, our emotions, of course, respond to our response to love. But love is a mission. Love is an action. Love is a behavior. Love is an attitude. But in the kingdom of God, when we're talking about love, we're talking about one of the most powerful things in creation. The love of God. And the kingdom of God continues. It increases. If it came because of joy, just follow the reasoning. If the kingdom came because of love, then it increases by love and according to love. If it came because of love, everybody say, right? Then it increases because of love. Then love will bring increase to the kingdom. Success then in the kingdom requires that the question must always be, have we increased in our understanding, in our experience, and in our exercise of love? That's success. We may be tempted to look for other things. And other things are byproducts of the love of God, and those things are fine. But we don't count the offering and say, well, was it a successful Sunday because the offering was such and such? And each week we're not looking for something, you know, more spectacular, like, hey, this week God raised the roof 5 feet, maybe next week he'll do it 10 feet. I mean, he'll do that. And that's great. God wants to be extravagant. But the thing that we're looking for, the thing that we're measuring, what is our pursuit? Our pursuit is love. Yes. And these other things work to contribute to and work in partnership and work to facilitate and to express love. Oh, stop. So I want to look at what it means to pursue love and why we should and what it looks like and what the results will be. You are going to be wrecked by the love of God. You're going to be wrecked by it. I mean in a good way. Lord, the love of God is going to come upon you in an experiential way and is going to wreck your frame of reference. It's going to change everything you thought about God, about who he is and what he wants to do and what he will do and how he sees you. You see, it's just too big. I almost like I need to sit down. Lord, this is such a big deal. I hope, I believe, we will never be the same. Are you ready? Holy Spirit, come upon us and help us. Let's pursue love. Now, this morning, I'm just going to take a few more minutes and preview some of the ways that I've imagined that we're going to progress through this, according to some of the notes that I've prepared. So let me just preview the outline of the next few weeks, okay? First, we need to recognize the importance of love according to the testimony of Scripture. What does the testimony of Scripture tell us about the preeminent place of love in our lives? Let me just tell you this. If you thought, oh man, I was hoping he'd preach about something we could shout about, get ready. This is the most shout-worthy stuff. This is good stuff. Now, I'm not trying to excite you or to wrestle out an amen if you don't have one, but I'm telling you what, this is good stuff. We need to recognize the importance of the love of God, of love, according to the testimony of Scripture. When Scripture speaks of love, again, it isn't talking about puppies and warm fuzzies. Love is seeing like God sees. Love is acting like God acts. Love is thinking like he thinks. And love is doing what he would do and how he would do it. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only say what I hear him saying. Love sees the way he sees. It acts the way he acts. Love is strong. Love is strong. Love is excellent. It is excellent. Love is excellent. Listen, Paul says at the end, at the close of 1 Corinthians 12, and as he begins 1 Corinthians 13, he's about to talk about love, he says this, and now I will show you a more excellent way. What is the excellent way? The excellent way he speaks of, that way that excels, that way that is superior to all things, is love. Love is the loyal kindness of God. We're not going to get into it today. I'll introduce it. We'll camp on it later. But love comes from the Hebrew word chesed. It's the Hebrew word chesed. And that Hebrew word, there is no English word that adequately gets it. There is no direct translation, chesed in Hebrew and in English. There aren't We don't have them. We throw words at that to try to capture it. That's why your Bibles, they use different, you know, translations. They use different words. If you read the Old Testament and you read different translations, you keep finding, sometimes you find the word mercy. The Lord, you know, give thanks to the Lord for he is good and his mercy endures forever. And you think, oh, that's the word mercy. But then otherwise, you read, give thanks to the Lord for he is good and his love endures forever, or his loving kindness endures forever. It's because we don't have the words for it. It's huge. It is God, but probably the best is his chesed, as love, is God's loving, loyal kindness. In fact, you could just take it down to those two words, loyal kindness. It's something that is loyal, that is consistent, that I trust in, that is faithful, and it is kind. We're talking about love, we're talking about excellence, and God's chesed, his loyal kindness, his expressed goodness. It is not just feeling or emotion, but it is goodwill. Someone say goodwill. It is good. When we're talking about love in Scripture, we're talking about goodwill and goodness. Love is the way that you live your whole life as a believer. Whether you're talking about family or work or living or your private life or your public life, love is the way that we live. I want you to consider here just some of these passages, and I'll try to be brief because I just gave a brief sample. Because many of you are thinking of Scripture verses that have to do with love, and you're going to wonder, oh, is he going to use that? Yes, but not today, later. So first of all, in our theme verse, coming back to our theme, we are told to pursue love, to make it our highest goal. 1 Corinthians 14:1. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 14 simply says this, do everything in love. Well, now he said it, didn't he? Good. Well, now we're on 1 Corinthians 16. You got that? Do everything. Somebody say that with me. Do everything. What does that include? Everything. You know, some of you are catching up to this. I love to speak on and emphasize universals in Scripture. Things that are universally said and commanded. Universal imperatives, because they just apply everywhere. Do everything in love. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2 says this, live a life of love following Christ's example. Right now, all we're doing right now is emphasizing the testimony of Scripture about the importance of love. Remember, today is only a preview, only an introduction. So love is, love is the way of life for everything. Okay? So firstly, we're going to look at the importance of love in the testimony of Scripture. Secondly, having seen the importance of love, seeing just how important it is will require us to go to the source, the supply, the origin of love himself. If we are going to do everything in love, if love is so important and has such a preeminent place in our life, it will require us to really know love. We're going to have to go to the origin of love. And that is God himself. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7 simply tells us this, love comes from God. Love is divine in its origin. Love did not come from man, from humanity. It is not synthetic. It is a heavenly thing. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 simply says, God is love. So if we're going to know love, if we're going to experience, if we're going to reach for it, then if we're going to pursue love, it must begin with the pursuit of God himself. We need exceedingly to really know the nature of God's love. We need to know what his love looks like, what it acts like. I want you to consider with me this morning from the book of Exodus chapter 34 that when Moses said to God on the mount, he said, now show me your glory. And then God passed in front of Moses. I want you to hear what God said. He revealed himself as he made his glory pass in front of Moses, saying this. Here's God's revelation of himself. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love. Someone say abounding. Abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands or thousands of generations, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. That's how God revealed. That was the powerful revelation of God's love in the Old Testament, in the Mosaic Law. In the New Testament, Paul writes in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I know that verse is so familiar to many minds that it just kind of travels past the radar screen. But I want you to feel the effect. God's ultimate expression of love occurred when? While we were still sinners. When we deserved it not. When there wasn't any part of our behavior or our thoughts that earned or pulled on or deserved his love. When our relationship with him was totally fractured and broken. While we were yet sinners. Where this should lead us to think is, if that is how God loved you then, that way. If while you were in your most undeserved and separated and dark and dingy and, you know, clothed in sin and mess, and if in that state he demonstrated his love for you ultimately, powerfully in that state, how much more? How much more willing and free and generous should you just step into and receive his loving power in your life right now? Right now. So we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about the nature of his love, what it looks like. When we begin to understand and continue to understand the nature of his love, we will begin to trust in that love. Trust in and rely upon and place our hope in that love. Over and over and over, the psalmist will use a phrase, something to this effect. Blessed is the one, the man, the woman, blessed is the one who places their hope in the unfailing love of God. David said in Psalm 52 verse 8, he said, I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. I trust in his unfailing love. John chapter 4, 1 John 4 and 16 says, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Someone say, we know it. And so we know, and this is after he's made his lengthy argument about what God's love looks like and how it was demonstrated. He says, and so we know that love and we rely upon it. We trust in as we grow continually to know the love of God, there will come an increase in our trust in God and our hope in God. We will grow to continually, joyfully, rely upon the love of God. And what effect will that bring? When we trust in his love, as we continue to experience and trust in his love, do you know what happens? I'll tell you. Psalm 31 and verse 7, the psalmist says, I will be glad and rejoice in your love. Do you know what happens as we experience and trust in the love of God? Joy happens. Somebody in the house say, joy happens. Joy happens. Joy happens. Because joy is a result of the love of God. Joy is a consequence, a byproduct of God's love at work. When you listen for the sound of joy, what you're hearing is love at work. Love's presence. Love's activity. Love has been here. when people erupted in joy in the Old Testament, it's because God's love had been at work. When people erupted in joy as at the funeral procession from the widow from Nain, when her only son was being carried out in the casket, and Jesus came by and saw her, and he said, "Oh, don't cry." And he reached out and touched the casket, and he said, "Get up." And he did. The place erupted with joy. Why? Because love had just visited them. They had experienced love. Joy is the sound of love at work and is the echo of love's activity. That sound of laughter, that sound of rejoicing is the echo of love's activity. I want you to consider that it was love, remember, that brought Christ to the cross. But it was joy that waited for him on the other side. Love, he emptied himself, came as a man because of love. He faced that cross, he bore that cross because of love. But what was waiting for him as the consequence, as the result of that loving exercise, the Bible says, was joy. Therefore, church, where love increases, joy abounds. That's me wrestling with a thought there, okay? I think, well, I'm not sure about that. Where love increases, joy abounds. Joy will also increase. So then as we learn of his love and experience the nature of his love, that love can and should become ours. His love will become ours as we go to him and receive from that source, that supply. Love comes from God. The Bible says that as the fruit of the Spirit is love. That means when the Holy Spirit fills our lives and brings his influence to bear upon our lives, he produces love. God, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, that God by the Holy Spirit does pour out the love of God into our hearts. How can we receive? How can God's love become our love? Because by the work of the Holy Spirit, by actually giving us himself, we begin to love with his love, and that's the objective. Then we can love him and love like him. Let me say that again. Then we can love him and love like him, which, church, is the first and greatest commandment. To love him and love like him. Then we will live like him. We will see like him. We will think like him and act like him. In excellence, in goodness, in loyal kindness. And, coming back to our theme verse, and we will eagerly desire the person and work, the activity and the empowerment of the Spirit in our lives. It will make perfect sense. Because as we walk in love, as we understand the love of God and experience his love, we will see the very practical, essential necessity of the work of the Holy Spirit, his power at work. We don't experience God's love. You look through the scripture. God never distinguishes between his love and his power. When God acts in love, it is always an act of his power. And when God acts in power, it is an act of his love. Even if it's in wrath, because he is separating or punishing that which is an enemy of his love. There is no distinction between God's love and his power. Can you catch that? Can you just take that for now? If you're not sure, take it and we'll run with it. There is not a distinction. When we understand that, then it makes sense for us, for Paul to say, pursue love and eagerly desire the power, the empowering flow, the empowering ministry, the person and work, and the giftings of the Spirit in your life. Because love facilitates, love requires, love necessitates that kind of powerful ministry. And love enables it to flow freely. Love contributes to the flow of the, and ministry of the Spirit in our lives. when we understand and experience, when we embrace the love of God, that is the perfect environment. It is the most conducive atmosphere for the power of God to flow freely. The anointing flows in love and from love. And love makes God's power normal. Love makes His power normal. You read through the life of Jesus, and it's so wonderful, because it's not like Jesus comes on the scene and makes a big splash in the miraculous and then says, well, now that that's settled, let me talk to you and teach you some things, and then goes to the cross. It was just normal. Jesus would heal the sick and drive out demons and teach about the kingdom, get up the next day, heal some more sick, drive out some more demons, teach about the kingdom, get up the next day, work a few miracles, feed a few multitudes, heal some more sick, raise some dead, drive out some demons, and teach about the kingdom. Why? Because He came as the love of God manifests. And all of that is normal. Question of, should I ask for this, or should this occur, or should I have enough, is God in the mood, or is this the will, or is this the time? It's normal. Healing, deliverance, prophecy, all of these and more are expressions of the love of God. So that's why I come back to this house specifically. What do I feel in my role here is in this house, a servant in this house? And that is to use this passage as a lever to launch us into this pursuit. Pursue love and eagerly desire, welcome, anticipate, flow in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. God to do extravagant things in our midst by the outpouring and the fellowship of His Spirit. On Wednesday nights, we're going to be looking continually now at the person of the Holy Spirit and His work in our lives and as in relationship to the kingdom. But the context is, pursue love.